Thank you. Thank you for those wonderful songs. And that last one, just the thank you. We appreciate the goodness of God. What a song. What a message in that song. It is so good again to have Brother Dana Williams and his wife Esther with us tonight. What a joy it is. They stay busy year round, and we're so blessed that they have put us this week in their schedule so they could be with us. A lot of churches have demanded, but you know, it's good when you have a lot of places to go. You just say, God, where do you want me to go? And he knows, and he has chosen to send him here, and we appreciate that. Brother Dana, come preach to us, my brother.
All right, if you enjoyed that singing, say amen. You'd have to travel with me to appreciate good singing. I was in a meeting here a good while back that all they had was organ music. Dear lady played the organ for 15 minutes before I preached. And I like organ music, but she worked for the funeral home. And bless her heart, by the time she got done, they was dead. And I felt like I had to perform a resurrection. That's hard to do. Good to be back in the house of the Lord tonight. Let's take our Bibles and turn to 2 Kings, chapter number 5. I was able to hang out with your pastor today, me and the wife. If anybody mentions to you about living so far back as anything, you just tell them your pastor did. He lived so far back, as one fellow said, they had the pipe of sunshine in. But we certainly enjoyed the beautiful country, areas that we hadn't got to see. And what a blessing that it was. The Lord has given these mountains just a beautiful touch, hadn't he? Special touch. I'm not a beach person or a coast person. I like to go every now and then, and I take one look and I'm ready to leave. But I can never get enough of the mountains. I guess that's because I was born and raised in the mountains of West Virginia. Of course, they said West Virginia, almost heaven. I said, well, I don't want to go to that other place. I'll tell you that right now. But what a beautiful place it is right here. I want to read in the scriptures 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1, down through verse number 15. We're emphasizing this word little. And as we saw Sunday morning, a little sinner, Zacchaeus, was much because God's want to was in him. And that's the key to our walk with the Lord. You got to want to. And if you want to, he wants to. And then last night, we noticed that even the little ships are much if God's Son is with them. And the Bible said there were with him also other little ships. Again, if you're interested in being with Jesus, I can assure you he's interested in being with you. But I want to look tonight here at this maid from Israel that became a servant to Naaman's wife, and how God in verse number 3 used what she said to change Naaman's world. And I want to preach on this, even a little servant is much when God's witness is in her. Let us never underestimate that most precious thing that God gave you when he saved you. And that was a testimony. Something that would bear witness with the Spirit of God to this world. And truly, the church is not mass-produced, but the church is built on one witness at a time, always has been, and always will be. And that is true for you, that is true for me. We were saved because someone told us about Christ, and someone else will be saved because someone told them about Christ. They had a witness. And oh, the wonder of one, and the effect that one can have on someone else's life if they can witness and testify to them. And I realize, as I said last night, we are in this year of election. And I want to tell you something more that America needs than our vote, and that is our witness. America needs our witness. So let's read down through this text, and I want to emphasize as I read what's being said as a result of what she said. She gives a witness. And then as a result of that, there just seems to be so much that comes out of what she said. Let's look at it in verse 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He also was a mighty man in valor. Now we come upon a sad note, but he was a leper. Seems to cancel out all the positive, this one negative phrase. In other words, he has a terminal illness. This leprosy will kill him. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel. Here's my phrase, a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. The turning point is in verse number 3. And she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of this leprosy. Now she has spoken. Look in verse number 4. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. The maid has said something. Now someone else is saying something. In verse number 5, and the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel read this letter, that he rent his clothes and said, everything that has been said so far has been said as a result of what she said. And so this king is basically saying, who said that I or someone can heal this man of leprosy? In verse number 8, and it was so when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king saying, now he has plugged in to this matter of what has been said. Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses, with his chariots, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went in a rage. And his servant came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself seven times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. But why did the man of God say it? He said it because of what the little maid originally said. Had she never said nothing, none of these other things would have ever been said. And his flesh came to him like unto the flesh of a little child, sort of like the little maid. And he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, now Naaman's going to say something. Behold, now I know that there is no God in all Israel but in Israel. There is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. I'm interested in this testimony. I'm interested in this witness that comes out of a little servant. And by the way, if you're going to be God's witness, there are two qualifications. You'll have to remain little, and you'll have to be a servant. He only uses little servants to spread his word. But I notice, though she is so small, she is in her surroundings made little, her service made her little, her size made her little. But she was the difference maker. By her changing witness and what she had to say. May it be our prayer that too God would speak in our hearts and out of our hearts to change someone's world that is around us, that is of great need. There are three or four things that I want to say about this witness, this testimony, or this saying that come from this little maid. First of all, is what I'd like you to notice is that it is here in our text with this little maid, we understand that God makes his witnesses. Witnesses don't just happen, but they are created. They are designed. They are made to be his witnesses. What I mean by that is that what God had to do is he had to take this little maid and he took her and created a witness, or he made a testimony out of her. He gave her something to say. But in so doing, he had to get her to this place to where she could say something. In her life, there is a movement. God has moved her from her world, from her family, from her country, from her comfort zone, into a pagan situation, because it is here that he is going to allow her to say something. God operating through the events of our lives as his children. Let us not grumble nor complain, because what he is doing is raising up a witness, somebody that can say something, getting us to the place to where we can say something. She has not only been moved, she has been mastered. Verse 2 tells us that she is carried away captive. And that she has been made a servant of. She has been made a maid of, if you will. And it is in this position, this lowly position, in this foreign land, that God uses her to be this witness. I say to you, God made a witness out of her. He brought her to the place to where she could say something. She is moved and she is mastered. And then as a result of that, she becomes God's minister or God's missionary. Now, had she said what she said here in Syria, back at home, I doubt that anyone would have paid any attention to her. And there would have been no necessity of her saying that. But God knew that He could move her, He could master her, and then He could minister through her by bringing her to the place to where she could say what needed to be said. Again, I emphasize, so it is in your life, so it is in my life. So it is with every character in the Bible. God has to make a witness out of us. He has to create a witness of us. He has to get us to where we can say something. He has to develop us to where we can say something. It was Joseph that was taken into Egypt to where he could say something. It was Daniel that was taken into Babylon so that he could say something. It was Paul who was taken into Rome so that he could say something. It was Jonah who was taken to Nineveh so that he could say something. And so all of the detailed events of your life, many of them seeming so unpleasant, those moves and those masterings that we would not design for our own lives, is God getting us to the place to where we can say something. As I look back over my own life and I have testified of how that I was raised and the things that I went through back in those mountains of West Virginia, but yet as I look over the course of my life, I say to you that I wouldn't change one thing from there to here. Because I realized that every step of the way, God was getting me to where I could say something. He was bringing me to the First Baptist Church of Fletcher, North Carolina, so I could say something. But I couldn't just poof, show up here and say something. God had to develop me. God had to move me. God had to master me. And by the way, He constantly does that because He wants to get me. You're not where you're at by accident. God has you there so you can say something. He has you among those that you're among, whether it's on the job or in the home or in the community, because He has you there to say something. But He has to use the events of life to get you to where you can say something. And so He has taken her out of some places and through some places and to some places. So now she can say something. He will take you out of some places and through some places and then to some places. And you'll know that God has brought you there through those circumstances and many dangers, toils, and snares. Because now He has you where He wants you. He has, unbeknownst to you, He has created a witness. And He has you where He wants you. Now, the second thing that I would point out to you in this matter of a little witness, a little maid as much when God's witness is in her. God has made a witness out of her. He has brought her to where she could say something. But if you'll look in verse number 3, you'll notice that He has not only made a witness out of her, but thank God He has put a witness in her. This matter of being a witness is not just an outward formality. It's not just a matter of you saying, oh, well, I'm a Christian. I'm going to say something. Or I am a member of a Baptist church. Or I have been a teacher or a deacon. I'm going to tell you, the only way you can be a witness is God has to put something in you to say. And I'm glad as a 14-year-old boy, he put something in me to say to this old world. And if you'll notice it in verse number 3, she says what God has put in her heart that is of a burden, that is of a necessity. She says it so passionately. She says it with a purpose, and she says it with a promise. Look in verse 3. Now, I don't know exactly what she's doing here, but because I'm doing the preaching, I'm going to do the supposing. That maybe she's fixing her mistress's hair, and she's thinking to herself, you know, I'm just a slave. And slaves are forbidden to speak out a turn. And I probably shouldn't say what I'm going to say, but you can tell with the intensity of verse number 3 that she can't help it. She has been given something so bold on the inside that you cannot silence it. I love it, I love it, I love it. When folks have a fire, as Jeremiah did, burning in their bones, and they don't have to be exhorted. They don't have to be primed. They don't have to be pushed. But God has spoken in them. And you can tell He has spoken through them because He has brought them to where they can say something. And now, thank God, it is fresh on their hearts. They've got something to say. He has made a witness out of them, and He has put a witness in her. Look in verse 3. And she said unto her mistress, look at the exuberance of it. Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And we'll notice there's so much more entailed in that. But in this word, she is speaking unto him. It is something that comes from within. I'm afraid too much of religion is nothing more than just a mindset. It's nothing more than just a feeling or emotion. But it's nothing to do what God has done to the heart. I love to preach out of the heart. I love to say something out of the heart. I love to speak that which God has spoken in my heart. And Paul said, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. He said, God has brought me to where I can say something, and I have something to say. You see, she knew something they did not know. This is a pagan land with pagan religion, polytheistic, many gods. They don't know anything about the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. They don't know anything about the God who led the children of Israel out of Egypt and crossed the Red Sea by splitting it and brought them through the wilderness and fed them with manna from on high and then brought them across the Jordan. And they do not know about Jehovah God. They don't know about Elohim. She knows something they don't know. Hey, child of God, you know something this world doesn't know. But I would say to you, she knew something they needed to know. If anybody ever needed to hear what she had to say, Naaman at this point in his life, no matter the successes that he had, no matter the greatness and the acclaim and the accolades that were given to him, no matter, he is now fixing to die. He has a terminal illness. The sentence of death is upon him. He needs to hear something. This old world does not know, but this old world needs to know. She knew something they did not know. She knew something they needed to know. But I'm going to tell you something. God put a witness in there, and that witness meant that she knew something. And here's what thrills my heart. She knew something that, thank God, on this occasion in this pagan land with pagan people who are lost, she knew something that they wanted to know. You say, well, how do you know? Well, look what happens in verse number 4. There begins this great snowball effect, this avalanche effect of what she said, because these people realized the seriousness of this man's condition, and then they realized the importance of what this woman has said, and it seems like that his condition and what she has said has come together. It is the answer, and they wanted to hear, what she had to say. Now, I understand that this world is not going to hear everything we've got to say, but it is in my heart to realize that as I cross this country night after night, preaching in church after church, that God possibly will have somebody there in a certain condition with a certain need, and He will give me the words to say that they will want to hear. And you can look in their eyes and realize that they have latched on to what God has said. What a marvel and a wonder when lives can be saved and changed because God has given an individual something, to say. Something to say. And this is possible for all of us because I'm talking about not an adult, not an educated person, not a wealthy individual, not an intellect, but a little maid who had the power of saying something for God. How blessed that is. God made, I say to you, a little servant as much when God's witness is in her. God made a witness out of her. And God put a witness in her. God brought her to the place to where she could say something. And then, thank God, He gave her something to say. I was preaching last week on the subject of forgiveness. There was a dear lady in that church who the next night came up to me and she said, "Preacher, my husband left me just a few months after we had gotten married for another woman." Her son stood right there. He was 17 years old. She said, "My husband left me 17 years ago." She said, "I am a Christian," but she said, "What I knew all along," but said, "you had to preach that sermon for God to say it to me, that my heart was filled with bitterness toward that man for what he did 17 years ago, and I had been bitter for 17 years because I had a cause." But she said, "last night, God lifted that from my soul," and she said, "I stand before you free." And she said, "what you don't know is I sat down and I wrote a long letter letting him know that I have forgiven everything." And she said, "Preacher, he texts me back this evening with his apologies and asking for forgiveness." And she said, "God has changed my world because I've been able to forgive." You say, "Preacher, what's that all about?" That's about one person with a heart that had a word for another person that had a heart that had a need. And if you are God's children, all around you, there are people who need a word. And God has you there to give a word. Because He will bring you to the place to where you can say something, and then, thank God, He has given you something to say. Now, if we'll notice in verse number 4, and verse 5, it actually goes on down through the text. This little servant is much because of God's witness being in her. God has taken her to where she can say something. He has given her something to say. But I want you to notice in these verses how that this witness seems to make a turn. And it seems to witness about her. What she is witnessing to Naaman and to Naaman's family in turn witnesses about her. What she is saying begins to say something about her. Let me underscore it this way. What you say will say more about you than anything that can be said. Can you grab that? What you say will say more about you than anything that can be said. And if you'll listen to someone as they're talking about somebody else, good or bad, they will inevitably go like this. Do you know what they said? And they will quote what they said. And as they quote what they said, they're giving emphasis to that person either in a positive way or in a negative way. And here it is, this young lady has released what God has said to her heart to Naaman's wife, which reaches Naaman and reaches the servants and so on. But the first thing that happens is what she says begins talking about her. Look in verse number 4. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. Ran right into the king and said, hey, I want to tell you what a weensy-teensy little old girl said. And the king in his head would be asking, I'm sure, well, who are you talking about? So he goes ahead and amplifies by saying, who is of the land of Israel. In other words, all she is a preposition on two occasions. Says she, we don't know who her mother and father was. We don't know of what tribe she was from. We don't know what city she lived in. We know none of those things, but we know that she is of Israel. But that's not what's important. What is important now is what she said. And so they make reference to her on the account and because of what she said. There's so much going to be said about you that's going to have a reference to what you said. So you got to be careful on what you say. Now, are you confused? He has given her, taken her to where she could say something, given her something to say. And now that principle of the Word of God takes hold. And what she says begins to say something about her. You know what Jesus said in the New Testament? He said, if you will confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father. In other words, he said, if you'll talk about me, I'll talk about you. Woo! Somebody said, well, she's talking and she's saying some things that'll help Naaman, but what about her? You don't have to worry about her. God will do the talking on her account. I thought about John the Baptist, who spent his ministry of 3.5 years magnifying Christ, pointing to Christ, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. They took him, of course, and Herod had him beheaded. They went straight and told Jesus that John was beheaded. He said, well, come with me into the wilderness. I want to talk to you about somebody. And he took them into the wilderness, and to narrow it down, he said John was the greatest man or prophet born among women. In other words, what he's saying is, you know, John spent 3.5 years talking about me. He's gone, so I want to talk about him. I tell you, I'd rather heaven talk about me than anybody else. And here's the truth of the matter. If you'll spend your time on the job talking about him, he'll talk to all the bosses for you.
If you'll spend your time talking to those around you about Jesus, He'll spend His time when the need arises talking about you. If you'll talk about Him on earth, He'll talk about you in heaven. I pastored over there at Temple Baptist Church for 18 years, beautiful place, and it was my desire to pastor there till I died. I told the people, I'll be here till I die. But the Lord showed up with something else in mind. And He said to me, I want you to go into evangelism. And I said, no, but I don't recommend that. I finally threw up the white flag of surrender. But here's what I told the Lord, Brother Roy, and He didn't rebuke me for it. I said, Lord, I will go, but I will not pick up the phone and call one preacher and let him know I'm going into evangelism. He said, you won't have to. I'll do the talking. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm now edging into 18 years of evangelism, and let me tell you, I have never had to pick up the phone to call anybody for a place to preach. But here's how it goes. The phone rings, and someone will say, Brother Dana, even today, or they text me, or whatever it is, Brother Dana, I've heard you on a CD, or I was in a camp meeting where you were at, or someone told me about you, and the Lord has laid you on my heart. I want you to come and preach. I hang up the phone, and I say, oh, Lord, you've been talking about me again. I like it when you do the talking. If you will spend your time not defending yourself, she could have spent time in bitterness and said, I hate this job and I hate these people and I got nothing for them. And she could have been filled with venom and trying constantly, constantly to defend herself, and she would have gotten nowhere nor helped anyone. But she spent her time, I'll tell you, saying what she was supposed to be saying, and what she said said so much about her. Let God do the talking. Don't go on the job complaining because you're not making as much as somebody else, or they're not treating you just right, or you've been all contemptible. I'll tell you what you do. You go on the job and you say to those folks what God has given you to say, and He'll talk to all the bosses and higher-ups and tell them everything they need to know about you. I say to you that God has made a witness out of her. He's taken her to where she can say something. He put a witness in her. He's given her something to say. And then that witness begins to witness about her. What she said is saying something about who she is. And as I said, I want God to do all my talking. I'll tell you another thing I told the Lord. He didn't rebuke me on this. I said, Lord, I'm not going across the country as the ragtag salesman of the gospel, pulling in everywhere, telling everybody about how bad it is on the road and what all's broke and how much money I need to get it fixed. And I'm not going to degrade your name. He said this also. You won't have to. I'll do the talking and I'll take care of the needs. And I want to tell you, He has for 18 years again. I'd rather let God say what He knows to say about me, and then I can spend all my time knowing what I need to say about Him. Spend your time on earth talking about Him. Talk to your youngins about Him. Talk to your family about Him. Talk to your neighbors about Him, and He'll do the talking about you. Now look with me, if you will, in verse number 4. One went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And then it begins to cascade. It begins to move. And it is here where we realize that God has not only made a witness out of her, put a witness in her, and then witnessed about her, but now we notice that her witness moves beyond her. It moves beyond her. In other words, God gave her something to say that hasn't even stopped being said to this hour. It just keeps on saying. Truth of the matter is, God's word is eternal. He said, "My word, which I've sent forth out of my mouth, shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that whereto I have sent it." God's word is forever settled in heaven. And can I say to you that once this word is released in whatever form that is in, whether it is being preached by a man of God or taught in a Sunday school class, or whether it is coming from the lips of someone who is testifying and witnessing, as this girl was, to someone else, here's what I want to say to you. Once that word is released, it will never stop. And you will face that word, that eternal word, one day in glory. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I don't want to run around just saying just any old thing. That you won't even be able to take to the bank, as the phrase says. I don't want to be like all these politicians just saying stuff to be saying that has no weight to it whatsoever. But I want to say some things that's going to affect somebody's life. And then they're going to pick up on it because it's God's word. They're going to turn around and say it to somebody else. And it's going to change their life. And then they're going to pick up on it, and they're going to turn, because once it is released, it will never, ever stop being said because of its eternal aspect and its eternal effect. She simply said, "Would God that my servant were with the man of God in Israel." That's what she said. But then notice what all comes out of that. My goodness. The first thing I notice is that there is such a marvelous thing, as there are so many changes and so many people that have been touched. She touches Naaman's wife, first of all, through what she said. She touches Naaman because of what she said. The prophet of God, the mighty man of God, is moved because of what she said. The waters of Jordan are changed as a result of what she said. The very disease that Naaman had is changed because of what she said. Even God Almighty moves from his throne because of what she said. And there are miracles in Naaman's life physically, and miracles in Naaman's life spiritually, simply because she said something. And when it's all said and done, there has been such a wondrous work that has taken place because a little maid was God's witness to somebody else and changed so many worlds. You know, one of these days they're going to close the lid, if the Lord don't come, on this body. But I got news for you. I may die physically and they may close the lid on me, but I ain't going to shut up. And the reason why I ain't going to shut up is because I've done said too much. And what I have said has already gotten into somebody else's heart, and they're already saying that truth. Because there was a day as a sinner boy, somebody brought John 3:16 to me, and they said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." But guess what? When that got in my heart, I had to say it. And I have said, "For God so loved the world." And then someone else has gotten saved, and they have said, "For God so loved the world." And someone else, no doubt, has gotten saved. And that rippling effect of that eternal word that never stops but keeps, I mean, words that we are going to face when we get to heaven, because they are wonderful words of life that have been released from a little insignificant heart. And as I say to you, you don't have to be the big deal. All you've got to be is a little servant, and God can speak to you, and God can speak through you. I was thinking about what she said in verse 3. Someone would say, "Well now, preacher, how in the world can you prove that once you release a truth that it just keeps on moving?" I sure can. Do you know the historians tell us that this little girl, this little maid, spoke what she said in verse 3 of chapter number 5, 2,600 years ago. She said to her mistress 2,600 years ago what she said. And here we are in 2016, October the, I'm getting mumblings, 10th. Here we are, 2016, October the 10th. This was spoken 2,600 years ago. She had no idea what she was going to say 2,600 years ago, that a little Baptist preacher in a Baptist church in Fletcher, North Carolina, was going to say the same thing that she said. You know what she said 2,600 years ago? I can't quote a lot of people who said a lot of stuff 2,600 years ago, because it ain't written and I don't know what they said. But I can tell you what she said. "Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria." Hallelujah. And I want to ask you, how many old sinners do you think have gotten saved because somebody preached to them about Naaman, who dipped 7 times in the Jordan? But it all started because somebody said something. And if God ever moves, he'll move on what he tells you to say. His word will change worlds. I know that for sure because it changed mine. And do you know that before it was over with, what she said, I say to you, just keeps on being said until finally it comes right back to her. Because after he baptizes himself 7 times in the Jordan, first thing he looks at, he says, here's what I'm thinking, he says, "That looks like that little maid's skin. Man, I got to get back there and talk to her, because everything's happened to me come out of what she said." Now, I know how much he offered the prophet, because the prophet told him to go and dip 7 times in the Jordan. You can read it there in the text, all the gold and the silver and all that other stuff. And I don't think she did it for bounty. I don't think she did it with any thought in mind of increase. But I'm just wondering if maybe he might have come back and moved her from a little chamber, a little hole in the wall, to a nice big suite. If he's going to do all that for the preacher who told him to dip 7 times, wonder what he's going to do to the one who said it. But whether any of that happened or not, I'm sure of this. There's one thing better than a witness. You know what's better than a witness? two witnesses. And as far as I know, in our text, there's only one witness to begin with in chapter number 5, and that's a little girl, a little maid. But honey, when he gets back, did you read what, hear what he said? He said, now I know that there is no God except in Israel. He takes this truth back with him. And he's not going to be able to hold it. I mean, if you're going to say that so boldly, he's not going to be able to hold that within himself. When he gets back, I can hear him. I can hear the other soldiers saying to you, man, what happened to you? You looked sick the last time I saw you. Looked like your hands was eat up with cancer. What happened? He said, you got time. Sit down, and I'm going to tell you about what a little maid said and what come out of what she said. Let me tell you something. If you'll allow him to say it in you and through you, one of these days you'll face what you've said in heaven. Because those saints that have been affected, whether it is a child to a mother or a grandmother, or whether it is a son to a father, as Brother Roy and I have talked today about so much that his father said to him, those words live on somewhere. But I want the everlasting words. Wonderful words of life. That one day in heaven somebody will come up and say, do you know what? I'm here because of what you said. I had a preacher tell me that, and he is a chaplain for a jail. And he said, you know, Brother Dana, several years ago I went into that jail and they had some commotions going on, so they wouldn't give me time to preach to those that are there. They just said, you know, read a verse and say a few words and pray, and then we're going to have to do some things. And he said, I stood before about 70 men in that jail cell, and he said, I didn't feel like I was going to accomplish anything because of all the turmoil there, but he said, I read a verse, and he said, I began to speak to them for about 5 minutes. He said, I closed my Bible, and I felt like a failure. I went and got in the car and drove off. He said, a few years after that, I got a call about someone that was in the hospital, deathly ill, and there was a family there that wanted me to come and minister to them, and said, I went to minister to them. He said, I did there what I did at the prison. Said, I opened my Bible, I read some comforting words, spoke to them about Christ, and had prayer, and then I excused myself. And he said, I exited that room, and I started down that corridor, that hall. And he said, behind me, I heard someone say, hey, wait a minute. You're him. You're the one. And he said, as I heard that, I didn't realize anybody was speaking to me, and I kept on taking a few paces, and he said, the man said with more exuberance, hold on, you're the one. And he said, finally, after about 3 times, I turned around and said, sir, what do you mean? He said, I was in a jail cell 3 or 4 years ago, or 5, I don't know how long it was, and said, you came there, and you read, said, I didn't want to hear anything. But when you opened that Bible and began to read and speak, God got a hold of my heart. And when I got out of that jail, I went to church and I got saved. And I didn't remember who you were, but when I heard your voice today, I knew that you were the one. He said, I've never been so thrilled about being run down in my life because of what I said that came from what he said. And you know, when it's all said and done, this little lady was spoken of in 3 throne rooms. Did you notice that? She is spoken of in verse number 5 in a throne room. Spoken of in verse number 6 in a throne room. Somebody said, well, that's just 2 throne rooms. She was spoken, I mean, the effects of what she said was spoken about in the Syrian throne room and in the Israelite throne room. But I'm going to tell you something, I guarantee you they were talking about her in another throne room. all because though she be no more than a preposition, though she be no more than a little petite girl, though she be no more than a prisoner, she had a witness. She had something to say. And once she said it, man, what God did through it. And may we be those humble servants of God where we're at to allow God to say something that'll change someone's world. Let's stand. I'm glad for those wonderful words of life that have changed my life. Aren't you glad that God gave somebody a word for you and for you and for you? May we thank Him, but yet on the other hand, may we be His little, just a little. You say, but preacher, I'm not, you don't have to be. All you've got to do is speak His word. And God can do great things. Even in Fletcher, North Carolina. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank You for this little maid. Thank You for what she said that kept on being said. And won't ever stop. And dear Lord, may You challenge and charge our hearts to be that witness that You'd have us to be. To speak the wonderful, wonderful words of life. Somebody needs those words that are close by. May we realize that. In Jesus' name, for His sake, we pray and we beg it. And amen. Well, I want to be that witness, don't you? One last thing, and I'll give it to the pastor. Preacher was telling me, he said, my grandpa was not saved. As a matter of fact, this is before I was born. He said, my grandpa told the story about going in the old country store and said there was a Pentecostal preacher in the area that went into the same store at the same time and said he got to talk to my grandpa and my grandpa got saved in the store. He said, my grandpa come back to the house and started talking to my grandma and she got saved. And said, my dad was just a young kid and said, before long, he got saved. He said, my dad got up old enough to work and said he went to work at a factory. And he said, my dad got to witnessing to a fella in that factory and got to saying the same thing to him that the old preacher had said to his dad, my grandpa. And he said, that fella in that factory, he got saved. And said, then he took what was said to him over to another section of the factory where he got moved. And he said, no boy over there got saved. Said he's a young fella and said that he had a friend that he hung out with and said he went straight to that friend and he said that friend got saved. And he said, would you have it? Would you believe it that that friend that got saved was the grandson of the old preacher, Pentecostal preacher that had started off all that saying and it come right back around to his own family. Honey, you don't ever know what God's doing in the circle of what's being said, if you'll just say it. And while you're saying something to somebody else's youngin', somebody may be saying to your youngin' what needs to be said. And have an eternal effect to it. I just want to say. Come ahead, preacher.
Pastor, do you have a song you could sing, please? The Lord put a song on your heart. And then she's coming to play and sing the song God directs her to. Would you bow your head? What a powerful message. You don't have to be well known. You don't have to know anybody or anything. Just know in your heart the love of God. And this little girl had a lot of reasons to be bitter. Taken from her family somehow, some way.
Yes.
But there she saw someone in need. Seems like that's all you need to get started. Have a burden. Have a desire in your heart to help somebody. He'll do the rest. Isn't it good? You don't have to hardly know anything or do anything. Just know Him and love Him and leave it up to Him. Altar is open. No, so precious little girl came to the altar. I like that. She might be that little girl God uses next. And you may be the young lady or young man or an old person that God will send you somewhere with somebody that needs a word. And only you could give them because God chose you. And the only question is, would you be willing to be in that position? God uses people as usable. He anoints those that are anointable. And we thank God that things are so easy. People, it's so hard to live a Christian life. If you're saved, it's hard not to. God makes it so wonderful. Go ahead, Miss Astrid.